We are bringing you a special show today because of a special event, and that is our good friend Herb Plambeck of Station WHO Des Moines has just returned from Russia, where he represented the nation's radio and TV farm directors on the Exchange Farm Tour. You remember that we just recently had here a group of Russian farmers going around America. Well, Herb and his group went all around Russia. And so this is his report on what he found over there. First, Herb, because there's been some discussion in the papers and evidently some misconception, how was this trip financed?
Well, first may I say thanks to you, Lad Haystead, and thanks also to the American Petroleum Institute for the chance to report to so many additional stations and listeners. Now, to answer your question, the trip was financed almost entirely by the men who went on the trip.
In other words, farmers used their own money, huh?
Most of them farmers, and all of the farmers used their own money, I'm sure.
What was your first impression as you went into Russia, Herb?
I believe it was the magnitude of the place. The Soviet Union is enormous. 8.5 million square miles, almost three times the size of the United States, and we usually think that's big. And in that connection, may I add that everything else that we saw there was in rather direct proportion. The farms, some of them up to 70,000 acres, the huge machines, and all the rest. Russia seems to have a philosophy, if it's big, it's good. We don't necessarily agree, but that's the way they believe.
Well, that sounds like it's even bigger than Texas.
Quite a few times, yes, sir.
Well, now in our talks, Herb, I was very amused and somewhat depressed by the way you tell me that women have taken the place of horses in Russia.
Well, that's a pretty apt way to put it. Women do a tremendous lot of the hard work, not only on Russian farms, but in factories, on construction jobs, on road gangs, everywhere. It was amazing to us, and I think it's one of the impressions we will never forget as to the number of women at work. It was unbelievable.
Well, what were the men doing?
Well, that is a good question.
Don't tell me they were all out voting or politicking.
Well, I don't think that was quite the case. Of course, some people assume that there are a lot of them in the Army. I can't answer that question. I do know that the men do mechanical work. They are the tractor drivers, the combine operators, and that. I know also that they do a lot of bossing of the job, sort of acting as foreman and that sort of thing. And they do, of course, some work in the management around the livestock as well as around the crops.
Well, maybe the Russians have got something there.
We wondered about that, too, quite a few times.
Well, look, do they have a suburbia which has become such an important part of our American life?
That is one of the most striking of all the contrasts, lad. We saw very few of these beautiful suburban homes that we have sort of identified with our American way of life and which we cherish so much. Virtually all of the living is in apartments or in multiple dwellings, except on farms, and there are individual homes, but they're not our suburban type of homes, I assure you.
Well, now, how about religion, Herb? We hear a great deal about that. Is there any left in Russia?
Religion is not dead in Russia, but it is terribly discouraged. We were told that there were some 1,600 churches before the 1917 revolution in Moscow alone, and that there are now somewhere around 50. I saw many churches that were closed or being used as a marketplace or perhaps the studio for some hungry painter. We did have occasion to come close to a church or two. I went into one day. I just took off from the trip or the tour that day because I am greatly interested in that subject. I was impressed by the number of people who were attending this church.
Were they all old? Any kids at all?
I was just going to add, and most of them were older people. When it comes to the young folks,
no teenagers.
Almost unanimously, there is no time or belief in religion as we know it, or a belief in God, or that sort of thing.
Well, that leads us right into children. What do the kids do over there? How do they handle them?
Lad, I don't know whether you and your listeners will believe this or not, but we found it hard to believe just what they are doing in that connection. When a woman gives birth to a baby, she has a couple of months vacation from her job on the farm or in factories or what have you. Then when that vacation period is over, the children are taken to a nursery. Now, the woman, the mother herself, takes the children there. She brings them early in the morning, then does her job all day long in those fields or around the livestock or in the tractor plant or wherever it may be. Throughout that day, those children, of course, are in the hands of some very capable nurses and with doctors available and teachers later on in their life. But the children are away from mother and dad, away from home throughout the day when most of the impressions are formed. We have a feeling that there was a little indoctrination taking place during that period.
I see. Well, what about the cultural life over there, Herb?
Before I go any farther, may I add one more point? One of our farmers in a presentation I heard him make after we returned said he felt that the nursery schools was not only the secret and cradle of communism, but also the cradle of atheism.
Oh, well, that's something. Well, tell me about the cultural life there. We hear a great deal about the theater and the ballets and so forth. What do they do?
Well, they do have quite a bit of stress on this so-called cultural life. We attended a ballet. We attended a number of theaters. We were invited to concerts evening after evening, and they are not limited just to Moscow or Odessa or the big opera halls. The collective farms also have little groups that sing and dance. They do a lot of that. We almost had more than we wanted of that kind of a diet, but I must say that the Russian people love to sing and love to dance, and that seems to be their major recreation. You see, they don't have many cars to go to many parks or otherwise entertain themselves that way.
Well, let's get down to the thing that we're most interested in, you and I, Herb, and that is agriculture. How's it broken down over there? What kind of farms do they have, and how do they compare to our farms?
Well, the Russian system of agriculture is based fundamentally on what is called the collective farms. As you know, lad, there are large enterprises, many people working together on very large acreages. In connection with the collective farms, there is another unit called the machine tractor station. It is a very integral part of the overall system over there because the machine tractor station furnishes all of the equipment, or virtually all of the equipment, as well as the technicians. We would probably call them county agricultural agents over here, and inseminators, and those type of people. The machine tractor station also has responsibility for checking in the sales to the state and the compulsory delivery. So it's very important politically, and I'm sure important technically as well. Then in addition, there are what is called state farms. State farms are large show places, or perhaps we should call them experimental farms. And in addition, they have the agricultural institutes, which are in effect comparable to some of our colleges.
Well, Herb, how do they utilize their manpower there compared to ours?
Nowhere's near as efficiently as we see it and as we compare it with our American standards. For instance, on these farms where women do so much of the work, a woman would be assigned to 10 cows, and that would be her job, and that alone. She would be assigned to 10 sows, and that would be her job, nothing else. She would not do anything beyond that. The same is true of the men. If they were working on a tractor as a tractor driver, they would limit themselves to that work, no matter how many weeds there were to hoe somewhere else. It's all on a basis of brigades. When you have large groups like that, you do get some waste of manpower and womanpower. And of course, remember, the family style of farming does not exist there. The free enterprise system that we cherish so much just doesn't prevail over there.
Well, how about machines? We hear so much about these terrific machines that they're supposed to have. What did you find?
We found some enormous machines. Grass mowers 30 feet wide, with a cut 30 feet in width. Some of them even larger, we were told, and similar machines. We thought they were just a bit too big to be practical. Certainly they were not very maneuverable, and we made recommendations to them to that effect.
Well, now a story appeared in the paper a few days ago out of Russia saying that they themselves admit they have less livestock now than they had under the Tsar. What did you observe?
That is true. They do have less livestock now, but let's not forget that World War II took a terrific toll, not only in human life, but also in terms of livestock. And much livestock had to be disposed of at that time to meet war needs. So they're building up. They're building up very fast, so fast indeed that they're running into a problem as far as feed is concerned. They're coming up pretty close to the pre-revolutionary days.
Well, tell me one last thing, Herb. How do they market?
Well, again, that would be a little hard for us to understand here in these great United States because we have, again, the free enterprise system. But over there, everything is directed and controlled by the government, and that applies to every inch of land in that vast country and to every store, to everything, and it applies to markets. The prices are set by the state, the government, and the government controls all of the marketing, except for a little free marketing, which is the sale of some produce that the collective farmers raise on their own gardens.
Thank you, Herb Plambeck. Representing the nation's radio and TV farm directors on the recent tour of Russia of the American Farm Delegation. This is Lad Hasted, your roving reporter, bringing you another in the Farm Service Series, Committee on Agriculture, American Petroleum Institute.
This is Frank Atwood, president of the National Association of Television and Radio Farm Directors, once again talking with Herb Plambeck, our representative in the exchange of visitors to Russia here this past summer. And Herb, this is the last of a series of reports that you've been making and in which we have been extremely interested. There are a whole lot of questions that haven't been answered. We could keep you talking a good long time, of course. One point I think might very well be made, and that is in connection with geography. Some of these areas that you visited, even the Ukraine, which would be in the southern part of Russia, is really pretty far north as we think of our own country, isn't that right?
Up very close to the Canadian border. Mm-hmm. And most of Russia's agricultural lands, of course, are in an area which compares with much of Canada.
How far north did you get, actually, on the basis of comparison with the American continent?
Up to about the middle of the Hudson Bay.
Yeah, and they're raising corn in that area?
They're trying to, yeah. But when you have an 80-day growing season and almost no rain from May till September, you don't get much corn, and we saw corn that was doing probably less than 2 bushels per acre.
Well, I think we have to keep that in mind when we try to compare what Russia's doing with what we might be doing here.
Yes, wheat will grow there fairly
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm. And even in the southern part, it wouldn't compare with our southern states, would
oh,
it?
Oh, no. Although we did see some splendid cotton production in Central Asia where it gets very hot and where it is rather far south.
Gets hot enough down there.
Yes.
Right. How about the roads? How about transportation? How did you fellows travel?
Well, we did considerable of our traveling in cars, that is, their kinds of cars. We did almost all of it on the roughest, dustiest roads you ever dreamed of. It was almost unbelievable. The drivers, I might add, too, were some of the wildest I've ever known. It was pretty rough going, actually. But we had no mishaps, thank God. We all came back in good shape, mm-hmm. and we certainly had some experiences along the way.
It's a dirt road country, isn't it?
There are some pavements, but they are few and far between, and they're usually pretty rough, sometimes so rough that the driver goes off of the rough brick or cobblestone and takes the dirt mm-hmm. to side path.
And Herb, since you were representing radio and television farm directors over there, what did you see in the radio and television field?
I was greatly interested, of course, in that particular field, and I checked on every farm that we were, and by the way, I was invited into a good many homes, in spite of the fact that I could only speak about 15 words of Russian, and I found that they do have radios. Probably nearly half of the farms that farm homes we saw have radios. The rest of them have loudspeakers, so they get the Moscow-directed and controlled radio programs. There was very little TV, almost none. I saw one TV set on a farm, just one.
Great contrast to the USA.
Certainly. Oh, my, yeah, there's no way I can describe that contrast all the way through.
And Herb, thanks a lot. Thanks for the fine job you've done in reporting back to us, the National Association of Radio and Television Farm Directors.
Thanks to you, Frank, for the opportunity. And may I say again, it's certainly wonderful to be back in these wonderful United States. Thank God.